like the car in that outro.
All right, so we're rolling in 3, 2, 1. How's it going, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo!
And we have an intro that is much better than the outro to Chameleonaire's Riding Dirty.
We absolutely do. There's no car crashes. There's no one spilling drinks.
It's not as confusing. It's not as abrasive. Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a Suns-Clippers revenge game preview.
Let's hope so.
Excited for that one. Devin Booker notably sitting out tonight against Portland. As of the time of recording this, the Suns are up 26-18 in the first. Does Booker play tomorrow night?
I think so, because Ayton comes back.
Okay.
Would be my biggest reasoning why. Other than that, I don't know. The fact that he's sitting against the Blazers makes me think, because it's still a Western Conference team, so I don't know.
Yeah, I would assume that he'll be in. But anyways, we'll still be getting into what we need to do well as what could go wrong in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you a few key matchups to watch for.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know it. You love it. It's Twitter Tuesday.
Hell yeah.
Every single Tuesday, we take your questions on Twitter. Well, we take them on Monday. To just
look,
in all transparency.
My own personal timeline is so thrown off from recording the day before still.
Yeah.
That I never know what day it is.
Yeah, I have writing all over my body in a memento style thing to try to keep track of the timelines.
You're like pick and will.
But if you ever want to get your question featured on the show, you should definitely send those at any time of the week, but preferably Monday when we ask the question.
Yeah.
To either at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler.
Another way is you can email us shavings.podcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
Send them over.
Yeah. Also, if you're a local advertiser, hey, we'd love to talk turkey with you.
Yeah. Which might,
yeah,
given AB5 might have a little more talks with those, but we'll get into that at some point.
And then we're going to be wrapping things up with some shavings, as we talked about there. We might address a little bit of AB5 stuff. We're not going to get too ranty or anything like that, but
I'm
going to
get very ranty
for all of that and more coming up right about now.
So before I get into, I'm getting my soapbox all built up for the shaving segment. The Suns play the Clippers in Los Angeles, which, hey, that's nice. Right? A home game after a 6-game road streak?
Oh, yeah.
This is an interesting situation. We got Ayton's return from a 25-game suspension. Kelly Oubre said that he's been working his ass off, and this part makes me not feel too good, has a lot of frustration and energy pent up.
Oh, man.
There's a pretty short list of guys.
Is this his first day out game?
Yeah, like this absolutely is. Like, there's a short list of guys who I like wouldn't want to hear the quote frustration and energy pent up.
Yeah.
And it was today until I realized, oh, DeAndre Ayton's maybe on that list of guys.
And he might have a certain rage as a side effect from who knows what. It's all been flushed clean now.
And he traditionally murks us.
Not with Boban in the lineup.
Well, different this year. So Booker wasn't playing. I'm not sure if he comes back for our game. If he's sitting against the Blazers, it would seem kind of dumb from the Suns' standpoint to play him against us, right?
No, I disagree. I think I would be more surprised if Booker didn't play.
But don't you think the Blazers is a more winnable game if you're the Suns?
I don't think that's what's in your mind. I mean, like, you want to play the best team.
Yeah, I guess from an organization standpoint, I would have gotten the dub against the Blazers, maybe, and then maybe sat him against us. But they have beat us before.
Yeah.
So.
And they are leading currently on the Trail Blazers.
Well, there we go.
Bookerless.
As far as injuries for the Clips, Bev, Lou, and Jermichael are all questionable. Doc said it was kind of doubtful that Jermichael would play. He also added that Pat and Lou practiced, but it wasn't much of a practice, was a direct quote from Miriam Swanson's Twitter. He mentioned all the guys were tired and then he almost canceled practice. They got into Chicago at 3:45 in the morning.
That's unbelievable.
That's absurd. We played them in October.
Yeah.
PG was out. We lost. So the team should be near-ish full strength. With all the injuries, do you think we're in a better position or the Suns are going into this game?
That's a good question. I think still that with the depth that we have, we're in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about this a little bit later, but
yeah,
in some of their Booker-less lineups, things are not so good.
Things get rough. And I won't get started on the Jermichael thing. We'll talk about it later. But what we need to do well in this game, we need to disrupt the passing lanes, which is hard to do against a Suns team.
Yeah.
They are number one in assists.
Yes.
Which was kind of, I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah.
I would not have expected, I mean, I know Rubio is, you know, carrying the most of the load on that.
How would you like to see Rubio trapped or a more aggressive kind of move on it? I mean, because forcing him to shoot.
I didn't even think about that.
Because forcing him to shoot, I mean, I feel like that will do, that's a pretty good strategy.
We might go zone on these guys.
So
if Booker's not out there.
We'll get into this and to what could go wrong. From my opinion, I am worried about running a zone against this Suns team with so many capable three-point shooters, especially at the five.
I was going to say, if Booker's out, let's run that zone.
Yeah, no,
if
that's
he's
fair.
In, maybe not. So I assume with Ayton being back, their timing is going to be weird.
Yeah.
Game speed is different. You know, they're also a top 10 team in not turning the ball over.
Which is very surprising.
Very surprising for a team that whips the ball around to the most assists per game.
Yeah.
So we're going to need to use our length.
The turnover ratio is just
I know that's a William Updike favorite.
It's absurd.
We're gonna need a honk for Harkless game.
Yes.
In terms of defense. I'm really excited we get both Paul George and Kawhi for this game because depending if Bev is out, we don't really know. Like, the questionable is very much questionable.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Until about... Also, full disclosure, we're not going to know if these guys are going to play if they're still questionable after tomorrow's practice until, like, 5:45-ish. Until Doc's presser, basically.
Yeah.
But we're just going to have to use our length, and it's going to be crucial. They've already beaten us once. We need to use the length.
Yeah. I'd like to see us use this deep amount of rest that we've gotten, comparatively.
I mean, compared to what we're used to, this was like 3.5 weeks off.
To hopefully pounce on Phoenix, who is on the second night of a back-to-back early, hopefully establish a lead.
Against a team that runs.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully not have to have huge usage for both of our main guys.
Yeah.
Especially just with everything that's been happening injury wise and just the schedule in general, which
we
is,
also have
damn.
We also have another back to back before Christmas.
Yeah. Oh,
we
yeah.
play on Thursday and then I can't even anyway. Sorry. I agree with your point 100%.
So and just piggybacking on that, we just need to really dump on them in the bench minutes.
Let's dump on them, dude.
I alluded to, like, Bookerless lineups are not that hot. Like, net ratings you're looking at of like plus for, and these are for the most minutes played lineups. You're looking at net ratings of minus 12, minus 2.5.
Hey, that's not bad.
There is one lineup that include that only played the one game with that standout first game for Phoenix with Ayton in it, and that lineup was plus 4. But there's a pretty steep drop-off in the offensive production, so I think that we should be able to pounce on him and put up a lot of points.
We might need another big 2-1-3 game.
Yes.
If Jamichael, who doesn't really seem like he's... I don't know. It's going to be... What could go wrong in this game? You mentioned the zone. Let's get into it. Hail the zone, by the way.
I'm a little bit worried about running a zone in this one.
Oof.
When teams can make us pay from deep, it's an issue. I mean, it hurt us in the Bulls game.
For sure.
They took
9 more than we did.
Yeah.
Which is what the zone opens up.
And when you have role players, you know, like a Valentine, being able to step up in those moments, that can create some pretty fast swings.
And the Suns have those guys.
The Suns have the personnel, really, to do that. They have 5 different players who average around 5 3-point attempts a game.
That's crazy.
And Baines, Saric, Oubre, and Cameron Johnson are all respectable shooters, hitting above a 33% clip. You throw a Booker in there, he's at like 40%+ from 3.
It's a lot of shooting.
It's a lot of shooting.
For all the people who want us to trade nothing to get Aaron Baines, you might see him punish us in this game.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about Baines' 3-point shootings and the matchups. It's something I'm kind of worried about, but
yeah.
I don't know that we're going to be able to fall back on this zone that we've been able to with key players out, which I think is going to be huge in just the fatigue for these guys.
Yeah, there still is that fatigue factor.
Yeah,
which it carries over. It's just when you're
it's
on the road.
It's cumulative.
It's absolutely cumulative, which is also a nice testament for those who are worried about the kind of minutes and road schedule. Our top 2 guys are still not even cracking the top 50 in total minutes played. So that's something we can kind of hang our hat on with the rest. The last time we played, they out-rebounded us 49-41.
Damn.
Which is a fair amount for a team that's top in rebounding like we are. We had no one in double digits on the glass in the last time we played, which is kind of shocking. And with Ayton coming back and apparently fueled by vengeance, it could get a little dicey. They are also a top 10 team in transition opportunities. Not percentage, but just opportunities. So if they're kind of killing us on the boards and Ayton has that hate gas or whatever is running through him from the suspension, the transition, it's looked a little better in these past couple games, but it's still our worst part of defense is transition defense.
For sure.
From the eye test, I would say. Let's get into these key matchups. What you got for this?
So obviously the big news is going to be Ayton returning. I'm a little bit worried about who's going to be guarding Aaron Baines.
Ooh.
So
you're drawing Trez out to the perimeter if he's on Aaron, right?
Yeah. He's crushing offensively. He's third on the team in assists, albeit only two. But, I mean, you know.
He's contributing.
He is averaging 14.5 points a game, though. And you have to respect him on the perimeter. He's taking nearly five attempts a game from three. And he's hitting those at like a 38-39% clip.
That's a threatening clip.
Yes.
And if you play the zone, you're giving him more chances to shoot at that clip.
And stylistically, I don't love either player guarding him on the perimeter.
I'm fine with Trez doing it.
Okay.
Because I think his footwork's just a little quicker than Zoo's.
Yeah.
And his like kind of size and he's 2 inches shorter than Baines.
Yeah.
He's listed at 6'8", but I think it's closer to 6'9½", or something like that. But it's tough.
It is tough.
Our wing defenders help us. This is where I was saying, but if it's the second unit, do you think we maybe stagger Kawhi and Paul George on the floor at all times in this game? We might have to. Because if they're running hot and Ayton is back, we literally haven't seen that. You know what I mean?
You haven't seen the staggering or you haven't seen the we team haven't with seen the Ayton Sun-
We haven't seen the Suns shooting hot with Ayton back.
Gotcha.
Because he wasn't there for that. He and Rubio were out for the game that we lost.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting how many like wrinkles could happen.
Bit more interested in the staggering thing that you brought up because I feel like... Yeah, I mean, why not just have one on the floor at all times?
Yeah, they beat us once.
Yeah.
Without their second and third best players.
Yeah.
Rubio at 2, Ayton at 3.
And if Booker doesn't play, obviously, it makes staggering a little bit easier.
Oh, it makes it so much easier. Zubats versus Ayton is just going to be huge. Baines is crushing. Zoo has posted a 99.5 defensive rating over 18 minutes in his last six games.
Yeah. That's incredible.
If that happened in this game, love it. This might be Zoo's best performance if that happens in this game.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen him have defensively flummoxing games on other three-point shooters, like the Lopez game that first time we played Milwaukee.
For sure.
It'd be nice.
It'll be interesting to see if Zoo gets more minutes if things are working well.
I think that the scoring with just
it's
going to be really, really important, and then, especially in second team minutes.
Yeah. Before we get to predictions, real quick, Bev versus Rubio. I kind of think this game hinges on Bev playing because Rubio averages 9.5 dimes a game.
Uh huh.
Booker's second with 6.5, and then as you mentioned, it craters to Baines at 2.
Yeah.
So some harsh on-ball defending will make this a little bit easier.
I know.
And we need Bev for that.
Yeah.
What's your prediction for this game? This is a weird game to predict. They're also not playing well recently.
Yeah, they've lost to Memphis. They lost to the Spurs. They are still...
ninth.
Up on Phoenix. Or up on the Trailblazers, sorry.
Yo, they're up on Phoenix, dude?
So, I think it... it depends a lot, obviously, on whether Booker plays and then how aggressively, I guess, we decide to trap Rubio and force him to shoot or
even Booker.
other guys to step up.
Yeah.
I think that we hold them. I think with Ayton back, they have a little juice. Maybe they hit some threes. I think that they do beat the 100 mark that I love.
We can't do the Rex Kalamy and the Alcos also Armenian challenge.
But I think that we do end up winning this one. I'm going to say 105-117 Clips.
Yeah, I think we get the dub in this one. I think I got the split right. I said if we lost the Bulls game, we would win the Timberwolves game, but the opposite happened. So I'm counting that as a correct prediction. I think we win. I think our wings do some damage. Oubre is a phenomenal defender this year. It's incredible. But we got two top five guys. So yep. I think this is a game where the top talent, since we have our full top talent, beats them. I think it's 125-109.
Oh, wow.
I think it's 125-109.
Love it.
We'll see. Coming up after this, we're answering your guys' questions. But first, if you're a Spotify listener using Spotify Wrapped, show us your Locked On podcast for the year. At Tony is currently crushing. I will say, network's a little behind on this promotion. We got a bunch of these like 3.5 weeks ago. See if you can beat Tony. I think he's at like 14,000 minutes.
Yeah.
He might have listened to some old ones too. Anyway, tag at Locked On Live and at Locked On Clips. We'll figure it out. Coming after this, some Twitter Tuesday.
All right. So it's Twitter Tuesday. We're taking your questions. Thank you so much to everybody who sent those in ahead of time. As I said at the top of the episode, if you ever want to send your questions in, look out for the tweet that we send out every Monday. That's at Locked On Clips. You can also send your questions anytime to at Will Updike or at Charles Mockler.
Or I'm going to be a lunatic. Send them to cmock68@gmail.com. That's just my personal email. I'll answer them. There was a heavy theme with this week's questions. I did, if you proposed any trade question and we liked your tweet from the Locked On Clips account, but didn't add it, we're sorry, because there was like...
There's a lot.
There was like 60 of that. What do we think...
Trade season.
Trade season's here. There is a specific Marcus Morris trade being talked about.
Okay.
Zach Lowe had an idea.
Okay.
Some people were kind of running with this as something he had heard, but I just full disclosure... It was just him spitballing. Just an idea.
Yeah.
That Hoops District account that just like retweets people's stuff with quotes from their podcast and then tags them, don't follow that account. That is an aggregator account. It will quote a Woj tweet and then tag Woj. It's just weird. Lowe's idea was Mo, Patrick Patterson, and a first for Marcus Morris. Just an idea. Marcus Morris's numbers currently 18.6 a game. Could have fooled me. 47% from three on 6 attempts a game. I mean, those are nice numbers.
Yeah.
Justin Russo, who if you're not following and you listen to this podcast, just follow him. He's fantastic.
He's a, yeah, great Clipper stat.
He was tweeting that Mo's lack of offensive threat makes him liable in the playoffs due to other defenses not respecting his shot.
This was an issue in Portland.
Yes, just messing the spacing up, which is where the Marcus Morris fill-in kind of takes precedent. What's your thoughts on this? Just something to spitball. Because a lot of people ask us about the Marcus Morris trade.
So...
I just don't think...
What's the drop-off defensively? Because I've seen Marcus Morris play capable defense, and he has the physical tools.
Russo put some tweets out, and opponents are shooting the same percentage when defended by Mo Harkless as, like, pretty much their regular splits.
Yes.
So the splits aren't affected when Mo is on them.
But they're not worse.
That is a positive Chuck Mockler take on the wow. Have we switched bodies? Did we open the same fortune cookie?
But you know, they're not any worse. I think defense is also one of those things that's a little bit hard to rate because I do still think that there are other tangible factors. But
no, for sure.
It's nice to hear those numbers, and it's definitely an interesting point of debate. Marcus Morris, I think it's a great trade. His salary is really pretty reasonable.
But what we're giving up, like, the idea is that, so the Knicks are morons, which I think we can all agree on. I just don't think three pieces And this is maybe the, you know, not trade savvy version of myself, but Mo just fits, and this is the eye test claim, in that lineup so well that if you have Mo, who is a plus defender, in the same lineup as Paul George and Kawhi, it makes him better.
Yeah.
People always talk about MVPs and fantastic players making people better on the stat sheet. It's always offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think
these two players especially
elevate Mo.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
And I totally agree. My thing is, we've just seen what can happen already so far with like injuries.
Oh shit!
And I worry about sending three players out to get one.
We've needed both of these guys.
And honestly, there have been points where we just need bodies. And I know things change.
Literally, just put someone out there.
Yeah, and I do know that things change. Obviously, in the playoffs, rotations shrink. It's totally a different game. But I'm still a little hesitant to do any deal where we're sending three times as much out as we're getting.
It is
back.
Just two players in a pick.
Yeah.
But two players, like, we've needed them.
Yeah.
Like, Patterson started games.
Yeah.
And whatever you might think in terms of a fan standpoint of Patterson starting games, yeah, it kind of sucks. But that's the backup plan.
Yeah.
And I think...
I got a backup plan to back up my backup plan, as Big Boy once
said. We just need... You talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago. About one of your dislikes was like having to use this depth so much.
Yeah, yeah.
We still have to use it during this trade deadline and yes. This season. So we can't, like, it seems like if we trade out depth, we're dropping games.
For sure.
Which, in the Western Conference, after the Clippers and Lakers, in the Western Conference, dropping games is a big-ass deal.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, dropping games is a very real deal if you're not in the top two. And I don't think Mo is just a better fit. I think his offensiveness, if that makes him unplayable in the playoffs or something like that, the team will figure it out. We still haven't even seen the team at full strength.
Yeah, and...
It's just so hard to gauge trades with this, with the team, with the injuries.
Yeah.
And it's just hard.
I mean, what I do like is definitely like that sort of veteran presence and leadership that somebody like Morris brings. I don't know, man.
But not any more than like someone who's been to the chip before.
Yeah.
You know, like not any more than Kawhi.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of tough to think about. I also feel like, I will say full disclosure, I may be hanging on to this first round pick harder than some people, but I just want some.
I don't know, man. That's just kind of not really something. Our timeline for.
It's not, but it also might be.
Yeah. It's always good to have. It's always good to have the stability. All right. So
despite my positive moniker, I'm still very much a pessimist at heart.
Well, it's. Yeah, if you know Charles, the positive thing is very much an ironic
It's a good
joke.
Time. We got time for more questions. We got to go to the next segment.
Let's move to the next segment.
Coming after this, we got even more Clippers questions. Okay, so Joanne Miller had a bit of a bold question.
Okay, love a bold one.
Shout out Joanne Miller. Do we think the Clippers need a consistent three-point shooter? The team misses a lot of shots.
I don't know how you're saying that with Paul George on the team.
Upon first reading, I was a little shocked by this tweet, but we are the 16th team in three-point percentage. But
yeah.
This, I think this question, first of all, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sending a question.
Oh, yeah, we appreciate it.
I think this question is born from injuries. No one, last year was a treat for injuries.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
No one expected it to be like this year. And it's essentially, if you remove Kawhi and Paul George from this team, it's the same injury situation almost.
Yeah.
In terms of having to roll through stuff. So I think this question, like, no, I mean, I don't know about you, right? Do we need to add another three-point shooter?
I mean, here's the thing. More space is always going to be nice. These numbers, I feel like we... And maybe I'm over contextualizing here because I haven't done enough research, but Some of these numbers,
scuba suit, do a deep dive.
Some of these numbers are definitely affected by some shooting slumps early on from Landry Shamet.
100%.
As well as some dips in production from Jamichael Green. But if you look at the top 5 shooters on the team, they're all shooting better than 33% on 4 1/3 attempts or more per game.
Yeah.
With Paul George taking as many as 10.
Yeah. So it's going to get, this is where like the depth has been great, but I think continuity is what we weren't ready to deal with.
Yeah.
We were so ready with continuity last year, kind of, because it was like, well, we only got these guys.
Yeah.
And now the continuity is so skewed that it's like, do we need to add this other piece? But no, we haven't even seen a full-strength squad once.
I like this question, Alec Mendez.
It is a great question.
It is a great question because, I mean, more space, you know, obviously opens up that pick and roll on the second unit. Adding another shooter to the starting five, assuming we don't already have it in Landry Shamet, or assuming you can find someone at the five who can shoot threes, which I don't know that that's in our trajectory.
We're not going to make... That's also such a drastic game plan shift. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Jamike at the five.
Look, hey, you know, like, I'm a little more on your side on Jamike at the five than some people.
When they fuse his butt back together with advanced welding technology.
When they glue his butt back... But so when it comes to like the shooting five and people talking about adding the shooting five, we haven't had that in ever?
Yeah.
Ever. Let alone when Doc has been coaching this team. So what, like, so we're going to transform a decent part of the offense into the shooting five thing.
I love the idea. I just don't.
Oh, the idea is beautiful.
I just don't see the prospect out there, and I don't see what we have to make to get the deal done without losing too much depth in the process.
Exactly, which is what screws us if we make some crazy trade. At Locked on NBA Net had their first ever submission to the show.
Wow, thank you.
Thanks for hopping on board. Been doing it a couple seasons. They have a bit of a fun question before we get into this SB Nation stuff. They want to know which teammate has had the longest conversation with Kawhi, or if anyone has actually had an actual conversation with Kawhi. So, if you've ever been in a locker room, Kawhi is vocal.
Yeah.
I think Kawhi has had... Here's what I think. I think Kawhi has had a long conversation with everyone on the team.
I agree.
I think his shortest conversation was with Fee, and he said... Just keep shooting. He's a vocal teammate. I think people get this thing skewed where it's like, if you're not vocal with the fans, you somehow must not be vocal with your teammates, which is crazy.
Yeah, no, it's definitely different in the locker room, and it's definitely different, you know, at practice. Like, he's with these are his coworkers that he sees every single day.
Every damn day.
I do think, but the least conversation that he's had with a single player, I think would be, well, if we're talking about basketball.
Maybe Lou.
I think he's had the least conversations about basketball with Lou Williams.
Because it's like, I'm going to find you and you're going to score and it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not in a disrespectful way.
Yeah.
No, yeah,
or maybe Zoo. Like, I would put Zoo up there too.
So Zoo and Kawhi, when they're running the pick and roll together, they have a very much like, this is kind of a weird pull.
Yeah.
But if you're at a work function and maybe your work has multiple branches.
Yeah.
And you haven't met people in that other branch.
Community mixer.
There's that one dude where like maybe the head of the company is speaking and he's a moron and he says something completely idiotic.
Yeah.
And you kind of lock eyes with the person you've never met with like, yo, did this dude just say this thing? And that person you never met is like, dude, he said that. And you have this like, oh, okay. Like we vibe. I think him and Zoo have a similar thing. Not that anyone from the organization has said something stupid.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's like that thing with Kawhi and Zoo where it's like, we can't vocalize how we're all on the same page, on the same track of thinking.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Yeah, I think that...
Zoo's also the easiest person in the world to get along with.
Yeah. And Zoo is the more vocal communicator of the two.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times Kawhi is probably just like, nah, dude, I just need you to be there to catch the
just go
pass
to this one damn spot.
Yeah. Or I need you to like to rotate or whatever.
It's a more like granular version of the Lou and Trez pick and roll. Where their pick and roll is like, I didn't even have to look.
Yeah.
And that dude was there. But Kawhi and Zoo, it's like, Kawhi's going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, but I think that it's like short instructions, which is why I still 100%. Think it's on the lower end of 100%. Communication.
Yeah.
So anyways, we got time for a couple more questions, or you want to jump into the shavings?
Let's get into the shavings, man.
Let's do it.
Oh, I'm sorry if we didn't get to your question. We appreciate all of them. There was just kind of a big thing that happened. SB Nation pretty much, I mean...
Bit the dust today.
Bit the dust in California.
Yeah.
Because
very unfortunate, like very sad to hear.
It's awful. Shout out to everyone at Clips Nation. Go follow all those people. I'll retweet it again, but they basically said because of AB5 in California, the goal of the bill was to get businesses to play their employees like contractors.
Yeah, so here's just a little bit of background on AB5, because I wasn't super familiar with it before today, but it was actually started to target a specific problem, which is the gig economy, especially in like Lyft and Uber.
Yeah.
We have these multi-billionaire companies who aren't necessarily paying workers a livable wage, and they don't have access to any sort of company-paid for benefits.
Insurance, there's nothing.
Which is a blight.
Car repair if you're a Lyft driver.
Which is a blight on local, like, you know, like local governments.
Absolutely.
And local ecosystems. And my issue with this bill is that it got corrupted to, like, the idea is good, but it was corrupted to a point where Lyft and DoorDash and Uber all found loopholes, and they actually all each company donated $30 million towards advertising to get this bill passed.
God.
That's $90 million. It's the third most expensive bill.
Makes you want to punch a hole in the goddamn wall.
It's the third most expensive bill in California history.
Jesus.
And
it's screwing over.
And the thing is that, once again, it's not addressing the root of the issue. The issue is not...
The issue is those companies.
The issue is not how independent contractors are being classified. The issue is companies not paying employees a livable wage or taking care of their healthcare benefits. And, you know, we're not a political podcast. We're not going to rant on this sort of thing. But when have these huge companies endorsing a bill like
it's
this...
It's owned by Vox.
To me, as a voter, it means bad news.
Yes.
It means that things are not trending upwards for independent contractors.
100%. I mean, all of Clips, SB Nation got... Everyone found out through a tweet.
Yeah.
There was a tweet from SB Nation that was literally like, this sucks, with like the shrug emoji or some bullshit. Like that. Like, so much great content got doomed today.
Yeah.
And
we're not saying that SB Nation shouldn't pay the writers. We're saying the opposite.
They should. They should absolutely pay these writers. Yeah. Our stance is firmly with all the contributors. Lucas Hahn helped start it. I mean, it just hurts.
Yeah.
It was a big loss. And they're going to continue. They were all dark today.
Yeah.
They're not sending anyone to the Suns game. The idea is it's going to continue through March,
mm-hmm.
but no one really knows what's going on.
Yeah.
We just want to pour one out for them. Absolutely brutal.
Yeah. Guys, just support the people that cover the team that you love. And that doesn't even mean financial. Like,
no.
If it just means like liking or retweeting a tweet, like whatever you can do to help get work that you like out there,
show it is
so impactful. Like if you just even tweet a link out to, I mean, even if you have five followers, to your five followers of an article that you read that you like, honestly, this stuff means the world. Like,
yeah, these
to
people,
all the
and
people that cover the team.
The argument's so tough is that it's like, well, freelancers, they kind of want this lifestyle. No, they don't. As a freelancer, formerly, before I got an awful 9-to-5 job that I have to do this podcast, freelancing kind of sucks.
Freelancing is awful. Another freelancer did it a long time. And the thing is these companies portray this idea that what freelancers want is freedom. And no, what we want is money, motherfucker.
Dog, we want insurance. Shout out to SB Nation. Venmo all of those people some bucks if you got it. I don't know. They could use it right now. We are, I would say, kind of in the dark of how this affects Locked On Clippers.
Yep, no clue.
We have a call on Thursday with the network.
Yes.
To get some clarity. I am going to go. I don't even think it's on a limb right now. If for whatever reason, there is no inkling that this will happen. I'm not projecting that out at all. If for whatever reason, the Locked On Clippers specific podcast has to do something, I'm not going to say what, because we all know what that what would be.
Yeah.
Will and I will continue to produce daily Clippers content.
No matter what.
It might just have to be a little Twitter followed for a sec, but look, just support your local beat writers. Like,
just support people. Damn, man, support people brutal. Who make the content that you like.
Shout out ClipStation. Shout out Clipperholics. Like, but all the Clippers blog. Like, and I mean, even Silver Screen and Roll, a Lakers blog that's on SB Nation. Anthony Irwin Harrison, those guys might be screwed anyway. It's all bad. Coming up on Wednesday's episode, now that we're off the home-built soapboxes, we're going to have a recap of the home victory of the Suns, discussing the What You Say Wednesday poll. Haven't thought of the subject yet. We'll figure it out. Whatever else happens to now and then, Clipland, we thank you so much for listening. You guys make it all possible. All of Clipper Nation. I have been Positive Check Mockler.
And I've been William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.